All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. YouTube, 1080 AM, wherever you get your podcasts. Good morning. Hello. Hope everybody's Thursday morning is going well. I got a couple notes I need to get to before we dive in. A couple of these.
Oh, we got breaking news?
Yeah, I'm not going to play it twice, but we have two breaking news stories.
What's going on this morning? I'm watching the Masters.
Well, Matt Miller will not be on the show.
Oh, seriously?
I'm not kidding. Swag emailed us.
Oh, okay. He's off the show today.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's off the show again.
Got it.
And
he's becoming our Troy Aikman. Is this what you're telling us? Is he turning into our Troy Aikman? You talk about that while I was out, his Dolphin stuff?
I haven't gotten to the Dolphin Aikman stuff.
That was kind of interesting.
Basically running the Dolphins.
Basically, yeah. He's doing the Brady. He saw Brady do it, and he's like, well, if he's doing it, I'm doing
he's
it.
He's just not an owner.
No.
He actually wants to be involved with, like, personnel
But they're
stuff.
Using his insight that he gets from other teams through his meetings to broadcast Monday Night Football.
Yeah, and I've seen sources that are like, other teams are nervous because they think he actually knows, like, he's going to be really smart about it.
Which would be really funny if he helped
to make of any.
If
of
he helped them win, and then you look back and you're like, "Why didn't Dallas do that years ago?" He's been sitting there
it's
for
crazy.
You as an available resource, and all it's of a sudden crazy. The Dolphins are good. It'd be really funny.
Want to give you guys a heads up that starting. Oh, never mind. Am I supposed to read this?
Yeah, I thought we're. I actually a good point. I think we were supposed to do that earlier in the show. Yeah, today's Thursday. Yes. Read
yes.
it. Yes,
Sorry.
Now.
I read the email.
I think we're supposed to do it an hour ago, but better late than never. Let's let the momentum build a little bit.
Well, we're giving everybody a heads up.
That's what we're
Not
doing.
Everybody's alive and awake
no.
at 6 a.m.
Look, everybody wants to hear it at 7.
Absolutely. So you can join us June 23rd.
What? For what?
As Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon
Here we go,
Farms.
Man. Here we go.
Foursomes are on sale now. You choose between the morning or afternoon rounds, but get your group signed up soon because they do fill up fast. It's the most fun day in golf with
yes,
activations and tastings around the course and the infamous Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3 sixth hole where all of us will be hanging out and giving you crap, maybe hitting a shot, admiring your shot, clapping, whatever. We've had hole-in-ones back there.
We have.
We've hit some of the worst tee shots for listeners out there.
Yeah.
We're all just usually hanging out and having a good time. Head to 1051thefan.com and click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for information and to sign up today. The Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota is also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson & Daughter Windows and Doors, Battery Exchange, Maestro DeBell, Tequila, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, and Window Nation.
Cannot wait, man. It's an awesome day every summer. We love being out there. And we saw that we did like a save the date for it on social media.
Well,
and we started asking a week ago, like, can we start talking about this? And then we finally got the clearance that tickets are on sale. If I remember correctly, I go buy them either way because it always goes super fast and it sells out every year.
Afternoon round usually
goes fast. So mm-hmm. I would put an emphasis on afternoon round tickets if that's the time that works. You get a little work done in the morning. I always prefer the morning round because the weather's a little bit better. It's not quite as hot. And then you got the rest of the day ahead of you. So you get out there early in the morning, you get a, you know, some sort of breakfast burrito, and off you go, man.
Yeah, the wife had showed me on vacation the post on social media about the Fan Golf Classic, and she goes, oh, you guys are doing it again. And I said, well, yeah.
I do it every year.
I go, why did you bring that up? And she showed me the post, and then I checked my work email. I didn't have anything, and I was like,
It was out there.
We
have an excuse letter on our social media via the brand man that he will. You can give to your boss. It's legitimate. He'll sign it for you. You'll get off work for the day.
Speaking of legitimate, the Blazers legitimately are not good.
No, they are not.
They are 40-40 going into their final two games.
Right where you want to be.
Right where you want to be. They've got the Clippers on Friday. The Clippers got housed last night by the Thunder. I didn't see the actual final score. Yeah, they lost by 18. They were down 20 most of that game.
Yep.
The Thunder clinched the one seed, so they went all out to do that and be done. And the Clippers lost, paired with the Blazers losing to the Wimby-less, Castle-less Spurs.
Two of their best players out of the lineup. Didn't matter.
Means we are one game back of the Clippers going into Friday's matchup. And by the way, we will have Joe Freeman Friday at 9 a.m., so we'll have him tomorrow to preview that game. But yesterday, I gave you the Blazers plus 3.5 at San Antonio. I didn't know Castle would be out, too, till after the show. No MB, no Castle.
didn't
really matter. San Antonio handled things from the get. And Portland could not hang with the Spurs. They lost 112-101.
Look, a lot of frustrating points of that game last night. I'm not surprised by anything. This team is what this team is. I don't need new information to prove how I already feel about the group. I mean, they just set the franchise record for three-pointers made in a game and blew an 18-point lead to Denver in the second half. That kind of tells you all you need to know. San Antonio without two of their best players, including one of the best players in the NBA, a guy who should get more consideration for MVP than he probably is. And they controlled the entire game. It was, I mean, Portland would cut it occasionally to five or six and go, and then San Antonio would respond.
Yeah.
The double whammy for me last night watching that game, one, nice to have a game on ESPN. We got the Breen bang. He did have a bang rescinded late in that game. It doesn't happen very often. That was kind of a funny moment.
Yeah, buzzer beater bang that didn't count.
It did not count. Helped Portland, but it didn't change the outcome of the game. So nice to have an ESPN crew on it. That was solid. The double whammy was having a guy who was available to you in the draft that a lot of us talked about a ton going into the draft as a West Coast prospect and a guy who played at Arizona. Hey, that Carter Bryant guy's got some length. He's got some size. Isn't that kind of what we're looking for, a 3-and-D type of player? And he doesn't have a lot of nights this season lining up the box score, but to your point earlier in the show, he hasn't played a ton because they're a good team. He killed you. He torched you. He had wide open threes all night. Felt like he made it every time he shot the ball. So that was nice as our first round pick sat on the bench again because he's only good enough to play in the G League. And then it was the other thought of watching a rookie point guard seem to be in control, to be good defensively, to not, you know, be over his skis. And I haven't seen a ton of San Antonio games outside of the few times Portland has played him in an occasional national TV game. Mm-hmm. But he's incredibly impressive and already looking like a difference maker early in his NBA career. And Scoot made some nice shots in the second half and got it going a little bit after a horrendous start shooting the ball. But there was a lot of moments in that game where he can't slow down and make a layup in transition.
Dude, he missed a wide open layup.
Trying to get shots up over Harper multiple times where he's just standing there and his hands up and he's just running right into the basketball. And it was like, this guy's in year three. That guy's a rookie and he already looks like a polished vet when you compare the two.
Yeah, the thing about Scoot that's tough, he was 7-20 from the field last night. It's not always about the points or the shooting splits, although you want the shooting splits to be good. It's like I feel like when I'm looking at his box score and I'm watching him, the final box score, 2 assists.
Yeah.
3 assists.
A lot of I'm attacking assists downhill, and I'm going to try and get to the hoop and get a bucket.
Yeah, I mean, last night was largely Denny Avdia, and then Tamani was 50% from three, but not as, you know, impactful as he was the two games prior to that. Donovan with a double-double, but Donovan's had like – he's had a weird stretch here. We're going about four games now of like, is everything going okay for Donovan? Like an 11-11 night isn't awful, but
it's not terrible. But he had set a bit of a higher standard for himself with the run he went on.
Well, when there's no Wimby,
no,
in the middle, when Luke Kornet is the center, that's a game where I'm like, that should be a 24-15 night, not 11-11.
That's the kind of game you should dominate, and he has dominated at times this year when he's not playing against a bona fide star at center, and he didn't do it last night.
It's fair to highlight, you know, Dylan Harper was the number two pick. The Spurs needed some luck to get to that pick.
Yes, they did.
But
worked out for him.
To me, it's more about the other stuff, right? Like, we had a listener actually tweet us what you said earlier of during a moment in the game, they go to the bench and they see an assistant coach, and who's on the bench next to the assistant coach?
Yeah, it was after one of the Carter Bryant threes. He drains like his fourth or fifth of the night, and then they show the Blazer bench, and Yong is sitting right there.
They show Yong Hansen. You know who had 27 points last night?
I do.
Cedric Howard.
Yeah, I do know who had 20. Yeah, I saw that.
Didn't draft him. We traded out of that pick.
Yeah,
traded him away.
But we cheated to trade out of the pick, too.
Yeah. We did well. We didn't cheat.
You technically did
the trade. We cheated the scouting.
You technically cheated to
get
him.
We had phone conversations with somebody.
You're currently suspended. Not around the team right now.
I don't know. Friday's going to boil down to, are you the 8 seed or are you the 9 seed? Because if they finish tied, the Spurs or the Clippers and the Blazers will win the tiebreaker based on conference record. The Blazers have that advantage.
Yeah, you win your last two games, you're the 8 seed. That's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know. If you lose to the Clippers on Friday, you're going to be the 9 seed. And then you're in a one-game battle. You lose to the Warriors, you're out. You're not in the playoffs. You keep your first-round pick. You win that, you'll then play the loser of Suns and Clippers for the 8 seed and the playoffs.
You're either playing Tuesday or Wednesday, depending. Tuesday if you're the 8 seed in the 7-8 game, Wednesday in the 9-10 game. I love how much the NBA has to drag that out. And I'm just to the point, watching San Antonio with all these guys that they partially got lucky to get, seeing how quickly they've risen back up from, hey, remember when they were tanking to look at that? They're already astronomically better than us again.
They've had some really good luck.
That's
in their
a
draft
cool story.
History, man.
I mean, that's what it takes. And then also takes hitting on your draft picks, right? And some of those were.
They've also built this team really smartly.
Yes, they have.
If you look through it, so Wemby plays, right? So you have Wemby. Obviously, that's just lottery luck.
Yes.
Dylan Harper, that's lottery luck.
Lottery luck.
Okay. But
Keldon Johnson, good player.
Keldon Johnson, good player.
Vassell's a good player.
Vassell's a good role guy. Yeah. They traded and got Fox, which I love.
Yeah.
They didn't trade him away even when they drafted Dylan Harper. Harrison Barnes.
Yes.
Good vet to have, right? Like, it's kind of this weird combination of Luke Kornet, I think, is a great role guy. Julian Champagne, he can come in there. He's supposed to be a good three-point shooter. Help you a little bit off the bench. You have Carter Bryant coming on now. Like, it's just a really good combination of the right vets to have around young players.
A talented roster where everybody's fighting for spots and playing time and pushing each other to get better. What a unique concept that you
can
even...
It's also very balanced.
Yes, it is. And you can have a game where two of your best players are out of the lineup, but yeah. It doesn't matter. You control the entire thing. In a game that Portland desperately wanted to win, coming off blowing an 18-point lead on the road in Denver. And so there was a sense of urgency on their side more than there was San Antonio's side, and it didn't matter. And so seeing them do this and seeing their lottery luck, I'm again back to the point of like, can you just give me my 2% chance and get this thing over with? Give me my shot at a first round pick or a whatever player in the back end of the top 10 or early teens and roll the dice that guy's going to be good. Because
it's a deep draft.
It's a deep draft.
There might be somebody worth getting there.
If I'm projecting what's going to help you more long term, getting swept in the first round by OKC or San Antonio just smoked us last night without two of their best players. If we get to the 8 seed, win the game and become the 7 seed, I know how that series is going to go.
The Thunder are definitely going to sweep you in this.
Whether
Spurs
you're the 8 or the 7, it does not matter.
No.
You don't have a chance in hell at doing anything there. Let's get it over with. Give me my 2% chance, but now we go to the Clippers on Friday.
We got some intel on something Blazer-related, and I want to throw a couple things at you. So we'll get to that coming up next. Hour number 2 rolls on Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan. That's some football stuff to get into. We'll dive back and update you on the Masters as we go on, and it's a Magic Hat Thursday. We got I got a lot of audio for the Magic Cat today.
I love that.
Should be a lot of fun to get to in the final hour of the radio program. But we talked about the Blazers losing to the shorthanded Spurs yesterday. No Wemby, no Castle, no problemo. The Spurs take care of the Blazers. The Thunder clinch the one seed. And so Friday's game against the Clippers is going to be the battle for the 8.
Yep.
They win.
I mean, you're beating the Kings this weekend.
Kings are openly doing something the NBA should
be finding. There's no chance they lose that game.
Did you see them apologize and say it was an error to foul when we were up?
I did.
In order to lose in the tanking?
Yes.
I mean, God, the NBA can't get out of its own way.
For those who didn't see, they had the lead in the fourth quarter against Golden State, and they intentionally fouled with like two minutes left, whatever. They intentionally fouled Seth Curry away from the ball.
They said it was an error.
Of course.
That's their defense. So we didn't mean to do that.
Because that happens all the time in NBA games, right? I've been watching the NBA for a long time. I see that every night where somebody randomly grabs somebody with 2 minutes to go in the game up by 3.
So the reporting is on the coaching front because the Blazers, are going to be in that situation where they got to pick. Mm-hmm. And as we noted, they technically did interviews and went through a coaching search. But the entire time, Neil Olshey had his guy in mind.
Yeah.
It was always going to be Chauncey Billups. And the GM search was not a search. It was Joe Cronin's from the get. They just masked it as, oh, he's interim. And then without interviewing a single soul, handed it to Joe Cronin.
Here you go, Joe.
Well, now we have a new owner. And that guy's probably not going to operate that way unless they somehow internally feel like the coach in waiting is on the bench or the smartest guy in the front office is actually the assistant GM.
Right.
And we'll have to wait and see on that future. The reporting is now that the Blazers, in looking for a coach... looking on kind of the cheaper end value of it, but pretty open to where they're going to go. Some people, Jake Fisher, I think, is the one. I think he had something the effect of they offered Tiago an extension. I think I want to say that's what I saw.
Oh, did they actually offer? I didn't see that. I saw that
not
they were
recently.
Kicking around the idea.
Yeah, give me
so
a
before,
second.
Was it before the ownership change?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay, that would have been interesting.
Give me a second
here. Have signed him to an extension before the new owner takes over.
So I saw it from...
Googling
on,
it. Googling
give me a
it.
Second.
Who had the report? Somebody did.
I saw Jake Fisher had something about the Blazers and being open with Tiago, but also still scanning the market in so the terms latest of where
one,
they want to go.
The last one that I saw from him was essentially that, yeah, to your point, they're considering all options, including Tiago, but they're also even looking down into the college ranks for a head coach potentially, and that they're basically wide open to whoever the next guy might be.
8 to 12 coaches he believes will be they'll be moving on. And so we could be looking at that kind of turnover.
Yeah, so you're going to get some guys who recently got fired. There's guys out there, the Jenkins cat from Memphis a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he's still out there.
He's still available to go coach somewhere, and he was a respected guy before Memphis decided to move on from him.
Yep.
And then there's college coaches who might always be looking to make the jump, and we've seen teams randomly do that.
So obviously we know they're going to be looking to either get a new coach or extend Tiago Splitter. And I know Blazer fans largely don't seem to like Tiago Splitter.
Nobody ever likes the head coach. Unless you're winning at a high level, people hated Terry Stotts. And that's the way it works.
So it doesn't boil down to just that for them. But you're watching last night, and you're watching a slightly shorthanded two seed in the West just handle you.
Yep.
You have to be watching that with an eye of, we need to be making some serious moves. And that was my takeaway from Dundon's press conference. To me, I'm very curious to see if it's one player or if it's multiple players in terms of roster reconstruction. Because if you were to make a Giannis-like move...
It's going to be a huge move. That's multiple players, multiple draft picks.
But does Giannis change most of this team, sans the couple players you know that would be involved in that trade, and make them...
Like an actual contender to a title?
Right. Versus J-Dub was thrown at me by somebody the other day of like, Jalen
okay,
Williams might be...
Yeah.
Well, not they don't want to.
Sure,
it's
but
just
it's
the affordability of everything, and he was hurt for most of the season.
We saw Boston do that. They won the title. A lot of their guys had bloated contracts, and they moved on from some of their pieces. Not the key to, but they decided some of the other guys had to go.
Trey Murphy in New Orleans always kind of been floated out there. Does Trey Murphy
player.
Change
no.
your future and your
no.
fortune?
No, he's a good player. I think J-Dub's a good player. I don't think he's quite to that level of
J-Dub
a number one.
Gets me
far more excited than Trey Murphy does.
I make an argument, J-Dub, and I know the injury stuff is risky. Totally get it. But in talking about all these guys, especially Giannis, that's involved, I would make a ridiculous argument to some that J-Dub may get me more excited than getting Giannis.
I mean, I don't blame you. One, the package I would assume would be a little bit less, but maybe that's wrong. But that would be my assessment going into the deal. He's a younger player. There's more runway there. And he's already signed the extension, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's got the deal in place.
Yep.
Like the Giannis thing, the fear of him is that he's got 1 year on a deal, and is he going to sign an extension? And if not, then you're the Kawhi Leonard Raptors, and are you good enough to win a title for 1 year?
Probably not.
No. And so then you're using up all your assets from one season. And just for an entertainment standpoint, I'm okay with them rolling the dice. I wouldn't kill that move, but I understand the detractors against it. Because if he left after 1 year, it'd be a disaster, and you'd be right back to where you were square one without all the future assets to play. And so if you can't get the extension done, it makes it a little bit more tricky. Like the coaching stuff, we're going to talk about this ad nauseum for the weeks and months ahead. I don't think Tiago is going to remain as the head coach. Just all the intel and all the smoke out there. And this is Dundon's MO. Like, he wants to come in and put a stamp on something.
Wants a new, fresh vision.
I would imagine, right?
Yeah.
And, like, let's be fair, Tiago hasn't been terrible. He wasn't handed a full deck. They've been banged up this year. He had to take over after the head coach was arrested by the FBI. Like, it's been a difficult, rocky road. He also hasn't overwhelmingly wowed me to the point where I'm like, oh, you got to hold on to this guy.
How do you do it with the roster?
It's not
though,
easy
right?
to do. Totally fair. The bigger question is, who's the guy making decisions on the roster?
The GM.
Do we want Joe Cronin to stick around? Has Joe Cronin done enough for you if you're Tom Dundon? Two of his lead assistant GMs or whatever the terminology are currently suspended.
His assistant GMs.
Just watch your point guard in year three, who you have to make a contract. You already get outplayed by a guy who's a point guard in year one. You drafted a Chinese center last year in the first round who cannot play in the NBA currently. Mm-hmm. And there are other guys, including one last night, who torched you, who you had the ability to go get.
So you think they should be looking further than just Tiago?
Yeah, like the biggest question. We've done this a million times in the NBA. Yeah. What is more important, roster or coach?
Roster, yeah. I still think coach
I don't
is
care
important.
Who the hell the coach is.
Well, I mean, I can't completely
I don't care.
Go there.
You could coach a good team to an NBA championship.
I don't have a good record.
You could.
Coach.
It's because you need to get better at acquiring players. You don't have a good enough GM. You trade some of these kids away.
I'm kind of a GM.
That one girl who can't go left, get her ass off your team. She's holding you back, Spray.
Her parents are so delightful. Torches roster over here.
Yeah, I know, dude. You're just making me throw
the coach stuff in the NBA, I just roll my eyes at.
Sure.
It doesn't matter that. It matters. I'm not saying they're 0%.
Yeah.
My baseball team has gone through it this year. They hired a manager from Tennessee.
Yeah.
First guy ever to go from college to Major League Baseball.
You guys just won your first series, didn't
they
you?
They won a series.
Thank you for being the Phillies.
Thank you. You're welcome. But like when they got off to a bad start, it's like, man, this guy's over in over his head. He doesn't know what he's doing. It's like, how about the biggest offseason signing they had was Harrison Bader?
Well,
maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, I would challenge baseball and basketball people to a certain extent. Like, I love when fans do say that. You could just simply say, what did he do?
What was the move that he made?
What was the move that he didn't make?
Make
the
relief pitcher
team.
Give up the 3-run home run? Hey, throw a meatball! Meatball!
Hey, 4-spot! Go 0-for-6 to start the year!
Like, of course, there's little nuances and decisions that you can make that can change the outcome of the game. And I'm not saying
locker room stuff is
yes,
a real thing.
I'm not saying it's real. Zero. I'm just simply saying the general manager and who's acquiring talent is significantly more important in building an NBA team. And the jury is out on Joe Cronin.
Danny says it's a B-.
An overall totality?
Yeah,
or just this year?
He became the general manager. He I think his exact quote
was... He's in year five, and the best they've gone is .500 and probably going to lose in the play-in. And you're in your fifth year.
Or at least in the playoff as an eighth seed. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're not winning anything.
No. No.
You might lose your first-round pick in a very deep draft.
But he got Danny.
He did. Danny's a good player.
You know.
He did.
Flip Dame for stuff that turned into stuff.
You know what that stuff now has done on the open market? Lost its value because of the incoming lottery changes that I'm sure are in the notes somewhere for the show today.
Something is definitely going to happen with the lottery. I think
those picks are going to lose some of their value.
Something's going to happen.
Because you're flattening out the lot. Well, I mean, it was reported yesterday that they're all leaning towards one option.
Yeah.
And if that option happens, if you got the future picks of a tanking team, they don't mean as much as they used to.
I would like also to point out, because I just watched this team play the other night, I'm always reminded, because I tend to forget, we also traded Josh Hart for Cam Reddish.
We did. Cam Reddish, I think, is playing in like Lithuania right now.
I think it's either that or China.
It could be. One of the two.
So
he's over in China.
I hear what you're saying. I just don't think Dundon...
It hasn't all been a failure. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying if
know,
I'm Tom Dundon, I'm coming in saying this isn't like, of course Joe's got to stay.
But I just... The unfortunate thing for Tiago is Tiago's an interim, right? Like, he's forced into being the head coach. People don't like him. We had somebody say he doesn't motivate. And I'm like, given everything handed to him at a random... He got a phone call at 3:30 in the morning.
Hey, you're the head coach.
Hey, you're going to be the head coach. Chance is in handcuffs. See you at the facility. What?
Huh?
Is this a dream?
Get your game plan ready.
That was how he got handed the job.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to excuse any moment or time that people have been frustrated with him. I get it. But to your larger point, it just feels like to me that Dundon's coming in. He's got this city fight, this battle, this arena stuff, the lease agreements. And do you really want to mess with, I need to hire the guy responsible for building out my entire roster? And do I really want to evaluate somebody to run the entire business side of this? I've said from the get, it just has a real vibe of Cronin, Hankins, full 1 year. We're going to evaluate. Here you go. This is your prove it year. Tiago's interim. That's an easier thing to go hire somebody new at if it's not Tiago Splitter.
The only critique I have of that, because I don't disagree. I'm not saying Cronin should be fired. I'm okay if they give him one more year, because again, it has not all been a failure. I'm just saying we should. That's the first question and the most important question of the offseason. If you keep Joe Cronin and allow him to hire another head coach, because I'm assuming you're giving the general manager that ability, I would guess.
If I'm taking Tom Dundon's MO from hockey, it's that Tom Dundon
he's
is going to
go find his own guy
in it. But I think he's going to trust people to make the hire.
And then what happens next year if you don't get over the hump again and then you change your general manager and now you have a head coach who's working for a new general manager going into year two?
Well, this goes into the...
I'm just for if you're making a change, let's make
a change.
Like, this is the whole Olshay Stotts thing all over again.
It's a little Brandon Bean, McDermott.
I don't blame you. If you want to... Hey, Tiago was handed a rough deck. You want to give him one more year, see what he's got? Fine. If you want to change it, fine. I'm not losing sleep either decision. I just want it to be either start over or let's give him one more year either way.
Sure. I hear what you're saying there. I think the other thing that I have with Joe is like when you talk about coach, him making that decision, for example, he could have made this decision.
Whose call was it to give Chauncey an extension last year?
You know what? I'm going to give you the take.
Off of a second half of a season?
I don't think it was the general manager's. I think it was Burt Colds.
Probably.
So
glad that guy was calling the shots for 10 years.
It's a little bit of an odd feeling of like, in that regime, I wasn't always 100% sure at what points who was making what calls.
That was the problem.
And so that was a bit of the odd thing for me as a person watching and observing and reading and whatnot.
Who's in charge here?
And I think that's entirely different now.
Yeah, we know who's in charge.
Yeah, Tommy D.
There's no questions.
Get out of his way.
Orange Chicken and Tommy D coming to a town near you.
We put that up as a poll question. Like, do you want the Blazers, if they make a coaching switch, do you also want them to, should the GM and coach be
hand in hand? I'm of the opinion that let's start anew. If we're going to start anew, start anew. Make your call. Mm. We're changing it up. I have no problem with whatever direction they choose. I just don't like doing one and not the other.
We have a lot more to get into. It is 7:34 because Dirtwin shut up.
God,
so we'll get to more
up
next. But first, Lowercase with a sports update. Pittsburgh getting ready to host the NFL draft. And they'll have the unofficial beginning of football season. The city's kickoff celebration will begin with a unforgettable invite-only night of music. The night before takes place Wednesday, April 22nd. At the Rivers Casino Event Center featuring Jason Aldean, John Morgan, and Shane Proffitt. Visit odyssey.com/thenightbefore to enter now for your chance to win this national contest. Prize gives you a round-trip airfare, two-night hotel stay, and two tickets to the show. The other thing I think about, because, again, I don't believe they will be entertaining any changes in the front office, I will say, when I'm talking with fellow media members about this Tommy D., it's a lot of like cheap, 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 cheap.
Yeah.
Because he's not the most rich. And I understand it. I just, the one thing I push back or I don't agree with is his reluctance to pay anything but player.
Yeah.
Because this guy, having read like Sean Eichen, I thought did a really good full on breakdown of him as the owner, the good, the bad, the what's it going to be. And my takeaway is like he knows ultimately his way to making the most money is what? It's winning.
Yes.
Winning brings butts and seats. It okays the ticket price increase. You build up the district. It makes people spend more money. Like, at the end of the day, this guy says this is a business, right? But he wants to win. He's competitive. And he might be cheap in a lot of aspects. I just think if he makes a change at general manager eventually, he's not going to be like random GM that's never done it. It's going to be who's going to put me in the position to win.
Yeah.
In the best possible light. I'm not saying that means he's going to pay the most money of any team in the league.
Sure.
But the other aspect here is what you're competing against in the Western Conference right now.
Good luck.
The Rockets aren't even having as good a year as they thought they would with Kevin Durant, but they're still better than you. The Timberwolves are having a down year because Ant's been injured and it just hasn't clicked, and they tried to make a trade and they couldn't make a trade, but they're still better than you.
Might still find their way to the conference finals.
The Phoenix Suns, who all of us made fun of because they made the dumbest trade with Bradley Beal and then stretched out and waived his contract, bought him out. They are already instantly better than you. The Clippers right now are better than you. The Thunder, the Nuggets. Like,
this gets to my
Lakers
point on Cronin and why the
LeBron
jury's out. And, right.
So it's like I don't know what moves and who it is and how many it'll be, but like, running it back would be a grave mistake, and I don't believe that's what they're going to do, but,
no.
You know, we've seen that before. And I also don't know if a Trey Murphy swings your fortune so much to where you pass those other six teams, even if you believe we can pass some of the teams I named. The Lakers are probably not going to have LeBron next year, or
right.
They'll have him at super cheap, which will open up what? A big mountain.
They're
going to
go get somebody. Either way, they're going to go get somebody next year.
I'm not banking against the Lakers with Luka to be worse than you, and so...
No.
We don't have one, and there's a lot of uphill battle here. I don't know what the expectations for Tom Dundon will be next year, or the fan base for that matter. What is an expectation for next season,
right.
Assuming this year they either fall in the play-in or get swept in the first round?
Yeah.
I have no clue, but I also don't worry about him being cheap, I think, in that specific category. Other areas, absolutely. That area, I think he knows the way to make more money is to win.
Agree with you. And I have a hard time with the criticism of what he may or may not do a coach for two reasons. One, we don't know what he's going to do yet. We don't know what he's going to spend. We don't know who he's going to go get. So once that information is in front of us, we can react to it and see keeping Tiago or going and finding somebody new. Was it a cheap hire that you only made because he was cheap? Was it a guy that you believe in? Did you pay for a certain amount of money? Like, we'll have to wait and see, right, once the evidence comes in and who they go get. But the other part of it for me is like, the last group and the owner and the GM hired a coach with 1 year of assistant experience who was friends with the GM. They had to drink a water bottle to shut down questions at the press conference.
I know.
Are we memory holding this? Like, that didn't happen? By the way, they gave him an extension despite having the worst winning percentage in the history of the NBA. I'm making that up, but it sounds like it's true.
I think it was like bottom 10 for sure.
And then he got arrested by the FBI.
After the first game.
So I go hire the coach from Willamette Community College. I don't care. I'm not going to sit here and pretend.
What are the roster moves
like,
going to be?
Like the last iteration of this went great.
Yep.
And we had this Hall of Fame coach that we're going to run out of town in order to bring in some college coach because Tom Dundon wants to pay him $48,000 a year next year. Like, I just, you've fallen on deaf ears there. So let's wait and see what he does at coach, but I will maintain to the point of where Portland is at in the Western Conference, this is the frustrating part of it. How do you get the most important piece? Because you don't have the most important piece.
Do you even think they can get it?
We haven't had, I mean, we had one, and then we probably waited too long to trade him, and then he tore his Achilles with his new team. But even then, when we had him, there was a debate about can he be the most important piece?
Right.
Because he was an undersized point guard.
If you were to tell me Denny is your best player.
No.
But, like, okay. Let's just say that's right. Everybody would say that's true.
Sure. He's your best player right now. Yeah.
Denny is your best player now. Are they going to acquire a player we will all say he's better than him? Because I will still die on the hill. I think when you talk about the ultimate in that sport, which people can laugh about the Blazers being in that position.
It's been a long time.
If you ever were, I think the ideal is I still think Denny's a three on that kind of team, not a two.
I don't disagree with the take.
So are we going to get a player better than Denny Avdia?
Probably not. Probably not.
Okay, so
I hope we try and get one.
So next year will be what? Slightly more.
I mean, I'm just saying that out of a I'm just a pest like I'm more
You're
hopeful with Dundon. I just have a lot of history to prove that that doesn't usually happen for us. But we got assets to play with. I do agree with your overall assessment that they want to take a big swing. Is Trey Murphy a big enough swing? No. No.
Trey
Murphy's a good player. Murphy's who you get after you got Giannis to then solidify what you had. Like, hey, all right, now we're cooking with gas.
We got some wings.
Hey,
some
now
stuff.
We can do it. But Trey Murphy being your big offseason acquisition, you go from the 19th.
Jalen Williams is a big acquisition.
That's a massive acquisition.
Trey Murphy is a
nice player.
That's a good move.
It's a nice little player.
I like that guy. Wait, what did we give up? Steep price. And then what we're going to hear is if that's the move, well, everybody said Denny was a really steep price. How that age?
Right.
And it's going to be like, well, is Trey Murphy going to make us better than like five other teams? I don't know about that. I don't even need that next year. I just want them to be where Minnesota is.
Yeah.
Like, you want to talk about expectations
be
early
in
on.
In the mix of the middle of the playoffs.
The
You're
mix.
Not going to be in the top of the Western Conference. You're not jumping OKC or San Antonio.
No.
Just get to the middle of the
I
pack.
I tend to believe you're not jumping Denver because as long as Jokic is playing basketball. And I'm going to go as far as to say, I know they're floundering now, but it's obvious why. Not even convinced you can jump the Lakers.
No, probably not.
I think J.J. Redick is a good coach, is what we learned, and I think Luka Doncic is a beast.
Yep.
And
they're going to go get a max player.
Somehow they're going to get a player, and we're going to go, damn it, dude, really? They got that guy? The Lakers. It's always the Lakers, man.
Always the Lakers.
Always in our way. All right, we have a lot more to get into. It is 7:47, Dirt and Sprague. We'll give you an update on the Masters as it's underway. We got a two big featured groups going on. We're back with more on 105.1 The Fan. A lot to get to in the third and fourth hour. It's a Magic Hat Thursday, so we'll dive into that. We'll give you an update on the Masters. We got a couple featured groups going off. I think the leaderboard's off to a nice little start.
Looks good early on, right?
A little, good names.
Long ways to go.
Good
it's
names.
Very, very early. Many people not even teed off yet, but solid names atop the board so far.
So we'll try to give you an update on that one in the third and fourth hours. A little college football to cleanse your Blazers palate.
Yes.
Okay.
Let me wash it out.
Kurt Cignetti.
Old Kurt Cignetti.
Good old friend Kurt Cignetti.
What's the Sig man up to? I've seen he's had some interesting quotes so far in spring ball. Nick Marsh showed up day one in gold cleats. He said, we taught him a lesson.
He was not happy about that. He goes, I don't think he'd ever been screamed at his last school, which I was like, yeah, I've met Jonathan Smith. There's no way he had been screamed at.
Where did Jonathan Smith land anywhere?
Mm-mm.
No. Just taking a year off. I mean, he's well compensated. It'll be fine.
Is it a year off or is it a year where nobody wants to hire you?
God, that did not go well. Called it.
You nailed it, dude. I couldn't have been more wrong on something. And I agreed with your overall point of, like, culture fit, all that. I just was like, I think he's a really good coach, and it won't matter, but I'm an idiot.
Should have never left, Jonathan.
But no, Cignetti yelled at his new wide receiver, Nick Marsh, for wearing gold cleats. How dare you? We're the national title winners. You earned those gold cleats, buddy.
You didn't win it. We won it.
Exactly. he had to defend Josh Hoover from another college football coach in Sonny Dykes.
His former coach said, he was fine. He turned the ball over a lot, though.
He basically blamed Hoover for their turnover problems. He goes, what did we have? We had 42, and Josh had 31 of them. And Cignetti was like, well, his two new best friends of offensive line and defense will help him get over that.
Yes.
And he has since followed up and said Josh Hoover's actually doing really well in camp.
Yeah.
I just I still don't know if I've processed everything. We're going to see these Indiana guys drafted now, and that's going to be weird because when has Indiana ever had players drafted that we've talked about?
Never.
And he's going to go into another year of expectation. People writing articles now that Dusty May is the Kurt Cignetti of college basketball because he did it with transfers.
Yeah.
That's largely, you know, what
How many
it.
Of the guys were Dusty May's players previously?
The five starters weren't at all.
No, I'm saying, like, did anybody, because how long has he been at Michigan now?
2 years.
2 years. This did anybody year come with him, though, from FAU?
I don't know if there's any FAU guys, but I know
because that would be the only difference I would point to. Also, Michigan's got, they've been historically good in the sport.
Versus, well, they just say the coach is that
coach. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get the overall comparison.
But making waves already in spring ball as everybody gets ready to try to take down Kurt Cignetti, who told you to Google him and then won a national championship in his second season.
Still haven't processed it. It's one of the crazier stories we've ever seen in the history of sports, and it remains probably outside of obviously the interest in my team and how they're going to do next year. It's my biggest question about college football next year. Are they dominant? Are they just Indiana's going to do this every year? Have they become a contender year in and year out? Is it going to be a, hey, every 3 or 4 years we get the right collection and we hit the right guys and we develop them and then all of a sudden we pop? Like, how do we react if Indiana goes 8-4 next year?
See, I think that's where you and I mean, look, injuries play a part in this conversation.
Schedule,
right?
Too, because they again play nobody in non-conference.
Sure, and they probably will never as long as Cignetti is coach.
Yeah.
If they have a massive injury and they're 8-4.
Different than being healthy
we would
and
agree,
8-4.
Right? But if they're healthy and they're 8-4, and that's where you and I think slightly disagree, is I don't know about winning the title. Maybe they're 9-3 is a down year. 8-4 with the kind of coach he is and his ability to get players.
Yeah.
That's where I'm really hard pressed to say, yeah, I could see that. Nothing's impossible, but that, I don't know if I'm buying into that. Whereas you take a look at the landscape of college football, and so you have Lanning keeping everything internal with coaches now, and a lot of pressure on him going in. Sark and Texas missed the playoffs, and now they don't want to play anybody in non-conference because of one loss.
Went out and overhauled a lot of stuff in the portal this offseason.
And, oh, by the way, our good friend Matt Moscano over there at LSU just did an interview, and he said Lane Kiffin is being told no by – there's nobody at LSU telling him no.
Yeah, he can do whatever
if
he wants.
If Lane Kiffin wants something, needs something, or is going to go grab something –
that's why he took the job.
They are literally like, go ahead, Lane.
That's why I took
it. And so maybe LSU and Lane Kiffin now will be the perfect match made in heaven.
Very well could. Ohio State's still there. Is Kalen DeBoer going to do it at Alabama? Can Kyle Whittingham get Michigan back? I mean, there's just – it's a fascinating year ahead. I'm not predicting Indiana will go 8-4. I just want to see another year of it, if that makes sense. And they just won the national title. That's
another
a
year
ton.
Of what, though? Making the playoff?
Of just being like that you watch them and they're truly one of the best teams in the sport.
Okay, so
because
what?
2 years ago they were good, but clearly not that.
But they were 10-2.
They
right?
were 10-2. Yeah. They beat nobody with a pulse all year.
I know.
They didn't beat a team with a winning record all season.
I know. But so, a lot of good teams don't end up playing.
I know. I'm just saying there's a difference between being that's a good little 10-2 or you're the best team in the sport or a true national title contender. 2 years ago, they were not that. Last year, they were the wagon that nobody could beat, and they were the best team in the country. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you're going to regress significantly. I'm just, does Indiana truly look next year like a national title contender again?
How many coaches would you have this
year? The average age of the roster was 25 years old.
No, I know. I get it.
It's older than the Green Bay Packers. That's not the case anymore.
But it's one thing to win a title, and that I don't think I'm counting on. It's another to be is your year where you're not as talked about and dominant 10-2 and
you fringe playoff team and you lose your first playoff
right
game. Yeah,
to me that's normal. So like, how many coaches winning a title would you be saying this about? Because I don't think you feel this way about Lanning in Oregon.
No,
he's never
I don't,
done it.
No, he hasn't done it. He didn't beat Indiana last year. He had two chances to do it, and he lost to him both times. Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on who you are, how long you've been a head coach at that spot, and what school you're at.
But the spot versus the coaching prowess, I think, there's slight differences there, right? Like, Indiana doing it consistently is one thing. He's 64. He's been coaching and been elite as a coach, whatever level or place he's been at.
Everywhere he's been.
Which is why I lean more the, I don't think I see 8-4 ever as a down year for them, sans an injury.
Yeah, and maybe you end up being right on that one. We'll have to wait and see on old Kurt Cignetti. Fascinating story, though, and I'm curious to see how they look next year.
Did you see the Jeremiah Smith story?
$10 million? Yeah.
Where Sprague was right.
Yeah.
Why are these guys not becoming free agents?
He's a Miami kid.
Year.
That was absolutely Miami that did that, and I don't blame him. I would love for my team to offer Jeremiah Smith $10 million. I'd give him 15. You want 20? I'll give you 20.
What do these schools care? They're making so much money.
There's no rules. Do whatever the hell you want.
Loaded third hour of the program. We got the Magic Hat in the fourth. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 105.1 The Fan, Portland sports leader.